is Cascadia Public Radio.
Headlines for you. Obama's dictator status expands with the firing of Wagner. Of course, head of GM stepped down as per some of the agreements that they made. So apparently the president now has the ability to fire heads of companies. And we've noted, of course, that General Motors and the big three automakers, say what you will about them, they have to beg for the crumbs of some of this stimulus money because they actually produce things. And it's been the plan of the trilaterals for a long time to deindustrialize the North American Union. All the same trilaterals, Bilderberg folks, from the Carter administration, from Brzezinski to Gates to Volcker, they're all back. If they ever actually went anywhere. Again, one party's in, one party's out. Now, Obama owns General Motors. Businessweek.com notes, CanadaFreePress.com has a great piece about Obama's involvement in the Chicago Climate Exchange, and that would be Obama being intimately tied to the coming carbon trading scam, you know, basically something he helped push through Congress. Something he's benefited from in Chicago, he's now going to implement on a national level. Did Obama get his August 6th PDB? That's the question from 911blogger.com. Of course, the August 6th presidential daily briefing that Bush got in 2001, of course, said that bin Laden determined to strike inside U.S. We're going to get to what could be this new warning in just a little bit, and what happened as a result. However, ho-hum, another Obama nominee doesn't pay taxes. Surprise, surprise. Again, they all know it's bullshit. Show me the law. This time, of course, it's Sebelius up for health secretary. We note, of course, that the senator from Citibank, Tom Daschle, had to step down because he doesn't pay taxes and hires illegals, and is intimately tied to lobbyists. Former naval officer files criminal complaint against Obama, and there are extras up on YouTube from Alex Jones's Obama Deception. So that's the Obamasiah and the Apostles of War. Now it's going to get ugly as we look at Police State International. The mayor of London is going to flood the capital with a 2012 Olympic army of 10,000 plus. Of course, we have the 2012 Olympics coming up in London. Northcom responds to North Dakota flooding. We'll get a little bit more on that later. The Army Times has reported on the military deployment in Sampson, Alabama. Remember, after that mass shooting on that Tuesday evening in Alabama, of course, the military was called out. And they were called out on it. And there's been some backpedaling. Flint, Michigan's government considering abandoning parts of the city, cutting police and fire. There was a simulated attack at North Chicago High School. There is a video there for you if you hit that link, taking you to suburbanchicagonews.com. Of course, the terror drills always going on, either to smokescreen false flag activity or just to acclimate you to the police state. Either way, they win. Non-lethal encounters, Army training cadets at the Paintball USA course, military exercises at the Burlington Airport in Vermont, police simulate terror attack on the Pope, that's from YNetNews.com, anti-terror drill at Otsugi Air Base calls for team approach. We, of course, like to note that a guy named Lee Harvey Oswald was stationed at Otsugi and was tied in with the crazy secret B flights. I can't pull it out the top of my head right now. Homeland stupidity, military police, law enforcement are planning a checkpoint coming up in Tennessee. More mass graves. Houston is expanding their cemetery. We've got plastic coffin liners being delivered by the truckloads. And again, last year we saw all the plastic coffins in Atlanta, of course, near the CDC. Lately, we've seen renovations and things going on at an Arizona cemetery. What are they preparing for? We've noted this before, and again, the phony left and the phony right. The phony left are out now decrying Glenn Beck talking about FEMA camps and fascism. But it's interesting to note that a vet critic characterizes the stories of mass graves as rumor mongering on Portland, Oregon's own Tom Hartman show.
One of the things, there's a terrible rumor going around that has popped up, and it's getting to the point of a viral email here in the last week, that, and this started with your good buddy Alex Jones. No, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. But with Alex Jones, who is one of the great conspiracy theorists of all time.
No, he's been on the show a couple times back years ago. He never ceases to be entertaining.
Oh, well, he absolutely is that. Well, he's been very entertaining again with headlines like mass graves for U.S. citizens. And he, of course, the implication being they're coming to take us away, ha ha.
Right.
And what they show is video and pictures taken at the Phoenix VA cemetery that show big backhoes digging holes and loading these precast concrete vaults into the ground. And of course, the hint is this is death news. This is just nothing more than rumor mongering. We have a link to the government website where you will see the contract that was let last year. This is standard upgrades just being done right now at a number of VA cemeteries. They're going in the grading, getting drainage, putting in vaults. You know, our veterans are dying an enormous number, over 700,000 every year, Tom. So this is just constant upgrading of the VA cemetery.
Yeah. I should say, in Alex's defense, though, he does cover a lot of stories that don't get covered by the mainstream media in ways that need to be covered, although occasionally he wanders into areas that, you know, I wouldn't go, and apparently in this case, he stepped in.
Tom Hartman there, more or less defending Alex Jones, by actually having to admit the truth that he covers stories that many do not. And so, nothing to see here. Move along. They're not preparing camps to deal with you when you get angry. Camp Arnie, a glimpse of things to come. California camps, Schwarzenegger. We got Luke Radowski being arrested for attempting to question Mayor Bloomberg. We also have a terror recruiting video targeting young Minnesota men. There is a video from WCCO.com. And again, thanks to my man Jeff for sending me that story. Robot killers gaining more autonomy. That's from military.com. Surveillance towers planned for Detroit and Buffalo. That's from the Associated Press. Secret U.S. forces carried out assassinations in a dozen countries. That's, again, Hirsch and Democracy Now! Airport body scanner machine tested at a Salt Lake airport. That's from KSL.com. Police fusion centers criticized for tracking Ron Paul, Bob Barr, and Cynthia McKinney supporters. Another clip from Glenn Beck where he notes that he was wrong. It's not socialism. It's fascism. And he's actually right. Again, as we heard Gerald Celente mention a little bit ago. Homeschool refugees from Germany to here. That's from the Washington Times, of course, the attack on any kind of personal liberties, whether it's homeschooling or what kind of food or supplements or what you want to put in your body. Feds began post 9/11 airline watch list takeover. That is from Threat Level on Wired. Border security to get a $400 million upgrade. That's from the Washington Times. Newsblaze.com asks the question, is America on the road to fascism? And lastly, on this Police State International heading, the NYPD is seeking to further expand its surveillance cams and their license plate readers.
Wants to keep a closer eye on security in Midtown. Police Commissioner Ray Kelly looking to expand anti-terrorism measures already in place in other parts of Manhattan. This is Jay Dow, live in Midtown right now. Good morning, Jay.
Well, good morning, too, Maurice. The NYPD says it needs $21 million in federal grant money to put cameras like those all on the same system. The need for the upgrade, according to the police commissioner, is a result of the world we live in.
The NYPD wants to cast a wider net and expand its high-tech surveillance network beyond Lower Manhattan.
It's basically taking the concept of hardening Manhattan south of Canal Street and moving it up to the Midtown area as well.
The system relies heavily on technology from the public and private sector.
That would mean, in essence, the cameras and the license plate readers and coordinated from the new coordination center in Lower Manhattan.
The department has secured most of the $92 million it will cost to complete the Lower Manhattan system, which is patterned after the so-called Ring of Steel already working in London. The Midtown grid would cover a zone between 34th and 59th Streets, from the East River to the Hudson River. Your every move monitored in a live feed for the larger purpose of collecting data that would hopefully prevent another terrorist attack. But testifying before City Council, Police Commissioner Ray Kelly conceded NYPD would need help to move forward with the new plan.
Is that entirely dependent on a federal grant?
Yes.
The New York Civil Liberties Union has filed a lawsuit against the NYPD, wants to know how the department plans to balance the city's safety issues with privacy concerns. We're live in Midtown, Jay Dow, CBS News.
More surveillance in New York as we glance now at Google News for more updates on the latest mass shooting. There now is reportedly 13 dead and 26 wounded at a Binghamton, New York aid group for immigrants. I've been ranting and raving. I don't want to be so bold as to say I've been predicting this, but you'll note that for the last several weeks I said there will be many mass/school shooting events towards the end of March and all the way through April. The MilTech cyber war heading under. April is the cruelest month. Alex Ansari has an article about the emerging sunspot cycle 24 and a weakened magnetic field. The Examiner has the electrical power grid to be blasted by 2012 solar flares, maybe bringing the quote-unquote perfect storm. The Air Force has said a bright light people saw was not a man-made object. That's from WTOPnews.com. Deep solar minimum is from NASA, again, talking about the sun and the sunspots and the sun cycles, not as it relates to anthropogenic phony global warming, but as it relates to the coming cyber wars and space wars and the 2012 event. DoD OKs multi-billion dollar secret satellites. That's from DODBuzz.com. Threat level set up their configure war room, your front row seat for Cybergeddon that didn't quite seem to go down with the configure worm. Vowing to prevent a Cyber Katrina, senators propose a Cyber Czar. Again, this is nothing new. We've noted this before, and again, we've noted that one of the heads of cybersecurity quit recently because he said the NSA is taking over. And, yeah, it's back of the paper. The CFR has a plan for planetary geoengineering. Quote, add more small reflecting particles in the upper part of the atmosphere. And if that has anything to do with contrails and chemtrails and HARP, God help us. Lastly there from the Washington Post, Senate legislation would federalize cybersecurity. A few salacious and one important note on JFK and assassination updates. The origins of JFK's struggle against the CIA, that is a great posting on one of the journals up on democraticunderground.com, of course noting things like the Bay of Pigs, which of course happened on 420, another anniversary coming up. However, a woman claims she had secret JFK love child in a wartime fling and she doesn't want money. So says this Austrian woman who claims of a JFK affair. AustrianTimes.at, The Independent, The First Post, and The Sun, all out of the UK. Of course, if there's a sex scandal, the UK tabloids are all over it. The geopolitics. Taliban chief vows amazing attack on Washington soon. And his name is Beitullah Mesud, last name M-E-H-S-U-D, and you should see a photo of this guy. His vow of an amazing attack on Washington, that was carried by Fox News. They also say that intel analysts say his threat is credible. So, as if to retaliate, Deng Zhiroom notes that a drone attack killed 12 after the Taliban threatened D.C. Obama notes that, yep, we're at war in Pakistan, and the White House won't rule out troops for the Pakistan war. Obama to bring more mercenaries to Afghanistan, does that sound familiar? U.S. weighs putting 70,000 troops in Afghanistan, that's from the Wall Street Journal. Muslim member of Congress, Ellison, notes that he is, of course, skeptical of the Afghan surge. Obama and Medvedev of Russia supposedly had a big breakthrough seeking huge cuts in nuclear weapons. That's from spacewar.com. And dozens of aircraft in Israel's strike on Sudan. Look to see those country names showing up in the news more and more and more as the days and weeks slip by. Again, if it bleeds, it leads. Murder and mayhem reigns supreme. Gunman kills 8 at a care home. That's from the BBC. 8 dead in the North Carolina care home shooting. That's from ABC. We've also got 5 dead in a California shooting. That's from the AFP. We've got an out-of-control truck kills 2. That's from the Washington Times. 2 dead in a Newburgh, Oregon plane crash. And 16 dead after a helicopter crash in the North Sea. That last story across the pond from The Guardian and Wiki News. 16 dead after a military helicopter crash in the North Sea. A couple notes on the impending Econo crash. Times Online asked the question, is there any gold inside Fort Knox? If you scroll down in the story, you'll note that they then start to go over other crazy conspiracy theories. There is a video and a great article about the righteous rage of Dennis Kucinich. Tax dodgers multiplies underground economy, cushions job cuts. That's from the Denver Post. 21st century abolitionist project, slavery and taxation. That's from LouRockwell.com. And a satirical note on the Econo crash. We note that, unfortunately, another piece of the drum kit has been claimed by the recession.
Another piece of drum kit is claimed by the recession. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Area musician Brandon Ritger admitted to reporters today that his increasingly dire economic situation has forced him to sell one more piece of his drum kit. This time, it was the floor tom that had to go. Ritger's had this to say as he sat behind his remaining snare drum and cowbell.
I really have no idea how I'm going to play the Inagata De Vita solo now.
Word has just come in that an anonymous millionaire, saddened by the prospect of a scaled-back version of the Iron Butterfly Classic, has generously donated a new drum to Mr. Ritger. A great day for rock. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News.
Oh, it's nice to shake off the chaos with a little bit of satire. Of course, always done well by The Onion Radio or video. Last few things on this April is the cruelest month news purge. A little West Virginia worry. Patriot Coal settles lawsuit regarding their toxic waste mines. That's from Forbes. EPA stops mountaintop removal. Waterways are still not safe. That's from PlanetSave.com. Newsday has the reforestation of U.S. mountaintop mine sites gets a UN endorsement. And finally, residents sue over coal ash dump disguised as a golf course. That's from HamptonRoads.com. A few notes in the world of media memes. Can the Simpsons solve the Mideast conflict? And that's being asked by Haaretz, and I believe there is an upcoming episode of The Simpsons where the Simpsons are going to Israel. Stewing in my mind and on random pieces of notes, I'm working on putting together a video of Simpsonology with all the strange symbolism and stories and memes and things that are hidden and in your face within 20 years of The Simpsons. That's going to be no small undertaking, but I'm sure The Simpsons going to Israel will be right in there. From the New York Times, protest from the right side of country. They're shutting Detroit down, and I thought about playing that new song from John Rich for you, as, of course, country rediscovers its 9/11-style populism, and have you forgotten? But shutting Detroit down was pretty bad, and I wasn't going to subject you to that. The last note, history mystery, Three Mile Island, exposing the government's cover-up of our most infamous nuclear accident. That is from alternet.org, and that wraps up that brutal news purge known as April is the cruelest month. Moving quickly, and we note from the Los Angeles Times, as well as PE.com, and the Contra Costa Times, and CBS2.com, and we also note that, of course, this is not exclusive to California, because the Obamavilles, Hoovervilles, Bushtown, Shantytown, tent cities are going to be popping up everywhere. Right now, however, Ontario, California's tent city residents are required to wear wristbands to identify themselves.
Homeless people have been living in a tent city in Ontario are now being evicted. City officials say there's just too many people, and the situation is creating some health and safety concerns. So where will all the displaced people go now? KTL9's Greg Mills live in Ontario with the latest on this story. Greg?
And Lena, the Ontario officials are hoping these people will go back home to whatever city they're from, and those cities will take care of it. Right now, they are forcing more than half the people here in Tent City to leave. They've got 1 week to do that. Tent City popped up last July here near the Ontario airport. The city wanted its homeless population in a dedicated area, and the city and nonprofits took care of their basic needs. Ontario estimates they have about 140 chronic homeless, but word spread quickly about Tent City, and now there are more than 400 here from as far away as Florida. Tent City can't handle that many, according to the city, so they're telling non-Ontario residents to leave within the next week, the city providing bus fare or cab fare. They plan to curb the population, and then the city will grade this area, clean it up, put a fence around it, and only residents with a blue wristband will be allowed here. The blue wristband is given to verifiable Ontario residents.
We know that approximately 200 or so are from outside the city. We can't possibly help the region's homeless. We don't have the resources. We're not the lead agency. The county behavioral health is the lead agency on it. We're working with them.
Try to find another place. Me and my old man and his brother are thinking about getting apartments together.
And we're back looking live at Tent City in Ontario. I'm told about 50 people have already gotten up and left and gone home to wherever that might be. Ontario police say the place actually has been kind of self-policed. The folks here kind of take care of their own problems. And Ontario police say they really haven't had major problems that you might expect in a situation like this since last July. The big exception was in October when a man was stabbed. And Ontario police also arrested two people here. But that's over a span of 7 or 8 months. Reporting live from Ontario and Tent City, Greg Mills, KTL 9 News.
Tent City residents in Ontario, California, are required to wear wristbands that identify whether they should stay or they should go. We, of course, noted the coming ghost malls, noted by Gerald Celente. And what's going to happen is people are going to start squatting in every available thing. And as we see, and as of course we just noted, you know, Flint, Michigan, talking about annexing, selling off parts of the city, cutting fire and police. A lot of places aren't going to have the resources to keep looking for squatters. So once people get pretty entrenched, it's going to get pretty strange. Moving quickly, Homeland Security and some Predator drones were on the scene fighting the Red River flood in North Dakota. This from the Star Tribune. The flood fighters in the Red River have added a high-tech weapon to their arsenal this year. A Predator unmanned drone aircraft on loan from the Department of Homeland Security was being used to survey the valley for the first time and give officials a quicker assessment than ever before of the flood's effects on the ground. Not making light of the plight of the folks in Fargo, North Dakota. But again, they just kind of calmly announced, that's right, the military, we're here helping you. As again, we've noted, PR ops will accompany the further federalization and militarization of your local police force and emergency management units. They'll bring out the jaws of life and they'll surveil you, you know, with the... A couple notes on the most amazing false flag, PSYOP, made-for-TV event in my lifetime, and that's, of course, known as 9/11. The Ground Zero Tower has lost its freedom. Remember, of course, it was going to be the Freedom Tower. This from the Associated Press, as well as Wikinews, as well as the AFP, as well as Raw Story, as well as MSNBC. The Freedom Tower is out. One World Trade Center is in.
New York City, the World Trade Center site, which since 9/11 is inarguably hallowed ground. In an effort to try to pay respect to the enormous tragedy that happened there, former New York Governor George Pataki named the planned building that will one day replace the World Trade Center the Freedom Tower. But for more than a year now, the Port Authority has been slowly and quietly backing away from that name. Because? Because they say the name might scare off prospective tenants. Well, today, the New York Daily News and the New York Post report that the building owners will call the new skyscraper. Ready? Drum roll, please. Ready for the new name? You ready? One World Trade Center. You know, it is easy to remember. Maybe that's the way it should be.
The City Medical Examiner is able to identify the remains of yet another victim. 54-year-old Manuel Emilio Mejia was a worker at the Windows of the World restaurant, which was situated on the top floors of the North Tower. The ME says the remains were found during the second phase of cleanup and recovery, which began in January of 2006. Currently, 1,624 victims have been identified, but more than 1,100 others have not.
And that's the other bit of 9/11 updates that I have for you. The 1,627th 9/11 victim identified after DNA retesting. And again, links in there to historycommons.org, as well as Newsday and the Associated Press. And I believe I swiped that video from New York One and posted it up to youtube.com/mediamonarchy. A flashback there, other 9/11 updates. Going back to January, more on the DNA, but also with some documents, WTC7 and the television. A bunch of really important stories that we're going to have to blast through very quickly. I almost thought there at the last moment I would maybe shelve these. But I won't. We'll go through them and I'll tell you why it's even more important and what may be coming up in the next week or so. But EnviroHealth, the pharmaceutical industrial complex. From ecochildsplay.com, depression drug illegally marketed to kids. A 5-year probe of Forest Laboratories by the Justice Department into illegal marketing of Lexapro to children has an ironic twist to it. The FDA, or rather the FDA, just approved the use of Lexapro for depression in children. This is a story of off-label, ineligible, illegal kickbacks, and more, of course, brought to you by the disease industry. A government panel is urging depression screenings for all teens, of course, so they can get them all on psychotropic drugs. And they usually are when they go on their school shooting rampage. They break. However, from the Associated Press, eatdrinkbetter.com, as well as ABC and a host of other places, we of course note, again, the water wars. This time, pharmaceuticals found in fish across the U.S.
Researchers in a nationwide study reported fish caught near wastewater treatment plants serving 5 major U.S. cities have residues of pharmaceuticals in them. The study's findings have prompted the Environmental Protection Agency to significantly expand similar ongoing research to more than 150 different locations. Study co-author Brian Brooks, a Baylor University researcher and professor, says that a person would have to eat hundreds of thousands of fish dinners to get even a single therapeutic dose, but even extremely diluted concentrations of pharmaceutical residues can harm fish, frogs, and other aquatic species because of their constant exposure to contaminated water. Brooks and his colleague Kevin Chambliss tested fish in Chicago, Dallas, Phoenix, Philadelphia, and Orlando. For comparison, they also tested fish from New Mexico's pristine Gila River Wilderness area, an area isolated from human sources of pollution. Fish in New Mexico proved uncontaminated. The EPA called for additional studies about the impact on humans of long-term consumption of minute amounts of medicines in their drinking water, especially in unknown combinations. Limited laboratory studies have shown that human cells fail to grow or take unusual shapes when exposed to combinations of some pharmaceuticals found in drinking water.
We now jump out of the water onto the border. Border wars and the homeland stupidity, Agent Orange controversy. We'll break that down for you really quickly. Basically, there's a lot of trees and shrubbery and brush that grow on the borders that, you know, a lot of people can kind of hide behind. So what we're doing now is spraying toxic chemicals on those to kill those plants and probably really harm anyone else that happens to come in contact with it. Obama and Napolitano and homeland stupidity, they all have no problem with this whatsoever. The Veterans Administration out of Miami put thousands of veterans at risk of HIV infection. This from USA Today. Thousands of veterans who underwent certain routine medical procedures at Miami's VA Medical Center since 2004 are at risk of being infected with hepatitis or HIV. That from the Miami Herald. John Vera, V-A-R-A, the center's chief of staff, says the risk of infection is low, but that any risk is unacceptable. It was discovered 3 weeks ago that some water pumps used during colonoscopies and gastrointestinal procedures were being rinsed, but not disinfected. Miami Vet Administration put thousands of vets at risk of HIV infection. We note from EcoWorldly.com that Royal Dutch Shell has dumped wind, solar, and hydro in favor of biofuels. From Sky News, again, we note with a duh. Germ warfare porting down vets. They die early. More than 300 Armed Forces veterans who volunteered as human guinea pigs at military labs have died earlier than expected, according to the British Medical Journal. The journal published the first long-term health survey into the controversial germ warfare work at Porton Down. The BMJ reports that among 18,276 men who took part in experiments over 63 years, death rates were 6% higher than among a similar group who did not. Last year, the government agreed to pay £3 million in compensation to a group of 369 veterans who sued over claims their health had been affected by deliberate exposure to nerve gases and other toxins. Further legal claims are being taken part in the tests. Nor were scientists able to link premature deaths to the experience. The research team did not have access to information on potentially influential factors like whether veterans smoked. As a result, they could not attribute these findings to participation in the Human Volunteer Program at Porton Down. More on that at fizorg.com. And of course, we know that volunteers were told they were helping find a cure for the common cold. Kissinger said military men are dumb, stupid animals to be used as pawns in foreign policy. And again, it's not a conspiracy that mind control experiments have been done. It's not a conspiracy that black men were given syphilis and let die and were studied as they did it. They don't care about you. And maybe, you know, 40 or 50 years later, they'll throw your kids some crumbs and in the back of the paper say, oh, well, we're sorry for testing you with that chemical or drug or bioweapon that we created. And then, of course, it'll accidentally get out of a lab in, you know, a drill or an accident. So the flashbacks there, of course, foot and mouth virus released from government lab. That's Porton Down. It was a drill. UK offers nerve gas veterans a £3 million apology. Of course, we just noted that, and that goes back to January of 2008. The last thing we'll note on this EnviroHealth posting, the pharmaceutical industrial complex, that we're still watching HR 875, a.k.a. the Food Safety Modernization Act. Now, I talked a minute ago about skipping some stories because I didn't have time or why I shouldn't. Those stories are coming from my embryonic new website called foodworldorder.com. Half a dozen things up there. We've gone over some of them on previous couple of episodes of MediaMonarchy.com. However, I added a little more this week. So, I just moments ago made the decision to not go over these two long postings up on foodworldorder.com. Whetting your appetite. The first one is Monsanto's GMO corn harvest fails massively in South Africa, and the other is a big post about water wars, recalls, factory farms, and food stamps. So again, all that and more is now available at foodworldorder.com, and again, I just launched it, trying to figure out exactly what to do with it and how I should approach it. Who I should possibly get involved to help me on foodworldorder.com. You can email me at mediamonarchy@yahoo.com and we can talk about it. So, jumping those stories for the moment, segues into episode 81 of the Corbett Report, Surviving the Collapse. We all know that the economy has fallen apart, and we all know we're in for a summer of discontent. But now what? Is there anything we can do to prepare ourselves for what is coming? So, join James Corbett on episode 81 of the Corbett Report, Surviving the Collapse, as he explores the three G's of self-sufficiency. He talks to international forecasters and backyard warriors, and relearns the old verity that forewarned is forearmed. I'll tell you right here, I was just contacted just a little bit ago from James Corbett of CorbettReport.com out there in Japan fighting the info war. He's invited me back on for an upcoming episode of the Corbett Report to talk about specifically the food world order. So, I guess I'm basically thinking out loud right now. Perhaps we'll jump those stories on foodworldorder.com for right now, and maybe when I talk to James for his show, he'll talk to me as we talk about those stories on foodworldorder.com. So there it is. And as of now, episode 81, Surviving the Collapse, is available from CorbettReport.com. Again, Ron Paul, again, I'll say if he got half the coverage he gets now, I imagine the election would have been a little different. Again, it wasn't all about Ron Paul. Ron Paul is not the savior. Ron Paul is not our last hope for America. But he's one of the few people who does what he says and says what he does. Ron Paul, Dennis Kucinich, Cynthia McKinney, Maxine Waters. But this has been the meme, and this has been growing, and I have been saying that we ain't going to end the fucking war with Obama. You ain't going to get your fucking change. You're going to get chains. However, they may throw us some bones to keep us, again, from wigging out as the wars go on and escalate and as the econo crash continues. I keep saying, well, maybe they'll release some files for us. Maybe they'll throw some, you know, JFK ufology shit out of the archives. Or maybe they'll throw us a bone on the possible legalization, or at least we can hope for some decriminalization, of marijuana. So, recently on CNN with Campbell Brown, Ron Paul debated the failure of the war on drugs with the Heritage Foundation's Ernest Istook, I-S-T-O-O-K, and again, they were on CNN on March 26th. Ron Paul debates war on drugs supporter, and there's more in there to House.gov and the Heritage Foundation, and more on Arnold Istook. The war on drugs is a bullshit, phony failure. Private, run-for-profit prisons gobble up nonviolent drug offenders, and it's pretty much exactly like in A Scanner Darkly, where at the end, when you find yourself on the plantation, you go, hey, we're making the drugs here that I got arrested for. but two interesting updates. Media getting high on pot legalization. And again, I've said that, I've noted it. We note the memes here on Media Monarchy. This from NBCWashington.com. It may be too soon to call it a movement, but when two of the nation's most revered columnists write columns on the same day advocating for the legalization of marijuana, there's definitely something in the air. So we have, I believe, Joe Klein over on Time Magazine. We've got Leonard Pitts writing for the Miami Herald, again, both highly syndicated. And then there's even another one from the Boston Herald. Media getting high on pot legalization. We'll just see. The other update from the agency French Press, as well as links to the source articles on the scholarly work, marijuana helps in the battle against cancer. The main chemical in marijuana appears to aid in the destruction of brain cancer cells, offering hope for future anti-cancer therapies. This said by researchers in Spain in a study released Thursday. That would be yesterday, April 2nd. The authors from the Complutense University in Madrid, with a link to ucm.es, and it is en español. The authors, working with scientists from other universities, found that the active component of marijuana, tetrahydrocannabinol, THC, causes cancer cells to undergo a process called autophagy. That's, of course, A-U-T-O-P-H-A-G-Y, with a link to Wikipedia to read about autophagy. It's the breakdown that occurs when the cell essentially self-digests. The research, which appears in the April edition of the U.S.-published Journal of Clinical Investigation, demonstrates that THC and related cannabinoids appear to be a new family of potential antimural agents. The authors wrote that the chemical may prove useful in the development of future antitumoral agents. That's what it is. I misspoke. Antitumoral agents. We need a little hyphen in there after anti. The scientists conducted their research on mice, first stimulating the growth of cancer in the lab animals, then injecting them with a daily dose of THC near the site of their tumors. The researchers also analyzed the tumors of two patients in an experimental trial looking at the effects of THC on a highly aggressive form of brain tumor and saw findings, quote, in line with the preclinical evidence first observed in the laboratory mice. Marijuana helps in the battle against cancer. However, I would note, I would be happy if even before we get medical marijuana or decriminalized marijuana or taxed marijuana by Oregon or any other state, can we at least grow some industrial hemp so we can maybe make some paper and some textiles and some fabric and we can make things? People like Ron Paul and Barney Frank, again and again, trying reintroducing the Industrial Hemp Farming Act, I believe it's called. So hopefully, again, we're going to see some movement in that area. Again, we're not going to see an end to the wars from Obama. We're not going to see a return to the Constitution or gold standard or the repeal of the Patriot Act or any of those things you thought you were voting for. We may get some crumbs and some bones thrown our way, hopefully. Which now brings us to the last ugly story we're going to go over on this episode 117 of MediaMonarchy.com. And that is the death of William Bennett. CIA, contract killers, Kosovo, and questions. We now have, again, there's always a sidebar, and maybe something like foodworldorder.com is illustrative of this. Could basically have sub-websites under MediaMonarchy.com just focusing on the particular areas and memes. So Food World Order discusses resource wars and water wars and all of that. I could do a Miltech site. do a police state site, do a site just covering the Congress critters and all that stuff. We could also do a site just covering the mysterious deaths of military folks or, you know, ex-CIA contractors. We recently, of course, went over Jonathan Bayless, another mysterious Minot Air Force Base death. So, much like that story, as with this story, huge hat tip and thanks for some of the research and the stories, and they're linked to him, and I cite and thank him, Cryptogon.com. I mention that name a lot, and that's CryptoGon.com, Cryptogon.com. Former CIA contractor beaten to death while jogging in the D.C. suburbs with his wife. So, thanks to Cryptogon, we're going to start at the beginning. On March 22nd, the pair were attacked on a morning stroll. That's William Bennett, age 57. He was found dead at 6 a.m. Sunday morning on March 22nd along Riverside Parkway near Rocky Creek Drive by a sheriff's deputy investigating a report of a suspicious vehicle in the area. His wife, Cynthia, 55, was found critically injured about 30 minutes later across the road beyond a bloodied white fence in a muddy ditch. That comes from the Loudoun County Extra from the Washington Post. March 24th, we note that the authorities are eager to interview now-widowed Cynthia Bennett. And then on March 25th, we learned, again, from the Loudoun County Extra, from the Washington Post, William Bennett had been a contractor for the CIA. A Loudoun County man slain while out for an early morning walk with his wife worked as a contractor at the Central Intelligence Agency for several years until 2000, the CIA confirmed, and investigators say they want to meet with agency officials to learn more about the nature of his work. The sheriff said his officers have not determined a motive for Sunday's attack in which William Bennett, 57, was killed and his wife, Cynthia, 55, was critically injured. The assault might have been random, but deputies have not ruled out the possibility that they were targeted. We're just trying to find out if there's anything in his background that could have led to this, Loudoun Sheriff Stephen O. Simpson said. We do that with anybody. It's not just because he's with the government. You talk with family, you talk with friends, you talk with coworkers, you look for enemies. On March 26th, again, NBCWashington.com notes the massive turnout for Lansdowne murder meeting. So, Lansdowne, the town, the little community where the murder took place in Loudoun County in Virginia, the residents are freaking out. Is it gang-related? But this is a gang initiation. On March 30th, the FBI is reportedly helping the Loudoun County Sheriff's Office with the ex-CIA slay. The FBI joined the investigation into the death of a Loudoun County man who used to be a contractor for the CIA. Agents are checking to see if William Bennett has any enemies from his CIA days. Deputies found Bennett's body in a grassy area next to Riverside Parkway early on March 22nd. The couple may have been attacked by three people seen driving suspiciously in the area in a white panel van. The Bennetts were wearing jogging outfits. Investigators still do not know the motive for the attack or whether it was gang-related or random. They also don't know if the attack took place where the couple was found or if the bodies were moved to that location. What they do know is that William Bennett was a CIA contractor until 2000. He was involved in a mistaken bombing of the Chinese embassy in Belgrade in May 1999 during the conflict with Kosovo. Three people were killed, 20 were injured in that bombing. The CIA later took responsibility, and William Bennett was one of the officials who helped identify targets in Belgrade. The death of William Bennett involves the CIA, contract killers, Kosovo, and a lot of questions.
I just thought, you know, it was a little bit more than the normal person who liked to keep to themselves. You know, he just really, really liked to keep to himself.
According to a neighbor, William Bennett, an ex-contract worker for the CIA, led a reclusive lifestyle, staying pretty much inside his home in this Potomac Station neighborhood. He would exercise every day, but only when it was dark outside.
He was always out every day. He went out, but he would always make sure he was home before the sun came up.
Ms. Goddard says she never saw Bennett leave his house here in the daytime, except to run out in his shorts to get the mail. And then she said he'd run right back into the garage. Ms. Goddard says the Bennetts would have food delivered once a week, laundry picked up and delivered once a day.
Every day there'd be a bag on the door and a new pickup.
Did you ever see him leave the house in the daylight?
No.
Is that odd?
I just thought he liked to keep to himself. He was very reclusive. We had difficulty getting him to say hello.
William Bennett, his wife Cynthia, found beaten in the dark hours of the morning Sunday along the Lansdowne jogging trail. He was murdered. She was critically wounded. So where did the attack actually happen? Investigators trying to determine if it happened right here on the trail or someplace else, with the suspects then later putting the Bennett's bodies along the trail. Police identified Mr. Bennett from fingerprints. They say he has a license to carry a concealed weapon in Virginia. Investigators say they're looking for three suspects who were seen driving around suspiciously in a white panel van. An intelligence source says William Bennett, found beaten to death nearby a jogging trail in Lansdowne, was a figure in the mistaken bombing of a Chinese embassy almost 10 years ago. William Bennett was a former contract worker for the CIA. In May 1999, during the conflict with Kosovo, the Chinese embassy in Belgrade was accidentally bombed. Three people killed, 20 injured. The CIA later took responsibility for the incident, which caused a great deal of tension between China and the U.S. The U.S. apologized and paid the Chinese more than $28 million in compensation. A retired senior intelligence officer tells NBC4 that William Bennett was one of the officials charged with identifying those Belgrade targets, that his job as a CIA contractor ended a short time after that incident. On Sunday, March 22nd, around 5:30 in the morning, the body of Mr. Bennett found near a jogging trail in Lansdowne. He'd been beaten to death. Not far away, police found his wife, Cynthia. She, too, had been beaten, critically injured. She remains in the hospital, unable to talk. The Loudoun County Sheriff's Office is trying to determine if the attack was random or if the Bennetts were targeted. A law enforcement source says so far there is no evidence that links that attack to the Chinese embassy bombing.
Some Loudoun County neighbors are living in fear tonight, 10 days after a couple was brutally attacked while on a morning walk near their Lansdowne home. Greta Cruz is live now with the extreme measure some people are taking now to protect themselves. Greta?
Well, today, gun shops around the area are telling me they have seen an increase recently in gun sales. It's not clear whether it's because of what happened here or because Barack Obama is president, but I can tell you a lot of people here are being more vigilant.
The Lombardo's family of Leesburg went shopping today at Loudoun Guns, firm believers in the right to self-defense.
I know that I'm protecting myself and taking the proactive steps to do that.
This is semi-automatic.
Have you ever had to use it?
But the brutal assault 10 days ago of a Lansdowne couple, William Bennett was killed, his wife Cynthia critically injured. They've been walking along a path right next to Riverside Parkway, has many residents taking new precautions. Some are buying firearms and pepper spray. Others, like Aaron and Kristen Palin, who live a short distance from the crime scene, have simply changed the way they live.
No longer walking by ourselves when we take her out at night, or making sure we have cell phones and identification. She's always being walked with dog tags.
Authorities advise people who do arm themselves with guns or pepper spray or tasers to make sure they know how to use them.
If you're not completely familiar with whatever it is you're going to use to defend yourself, it could be taken away and used against you.
Investigators, meantime, still have not been able to talk with Cynthia Bennett, the one person who can help them identify and find the killers.
Now, Sheriff Simpson says they have 13 people working on this case. There have been a lot of leads, also a lot of false rumors, he said. For instance, there was a story recently widely circulated about a van with Florida tags and a guy knocking on doors. Well, it turned out, he says, that was simply a door-to-door salesman. Live in Loudoun County, Virginia, Greta Cruz, ABC 7.
The death of William Bennett. CIA, contract killers, Kosovo, and questions. Now, two of those videos are available in their entirety, swiped by me and posted up to youtube.com/mediamonarchy. The last thing we note, and again, with the hat tip to cryptogon.com, could all of this somehow be related to this story that we posted up a few weeks ago? Belgrade death squad leader was top CIA agent. This from Scotland's Sunday Herald. The late President Milosevic's secret police chief and organizer of Serb death squads during the genocidal ethnic cleansing of disintegrating Yugoslavia was the United States' top CIA agent in Belgrade, according to the independent Belgrade radio B92. The claim that from 92 until the end of the decade, Jovica Stanisic, head of Serbia's murderous DB secret police, was regularly informing his CIA handlers of the thinking in Milosevic's inner circle, and now this has all shocked the region. Stanisic is said to have loyally served his two masters for 8 years. He is currently awaiting and facing war crimes charges at the International Criminal Court at The Hague. So, could CIA and Black Ops be connected to the death of William Bennett, beaten to death in Loudoun County, Virginia on March 22nd. I'm sure we have probably not seen the last of this story. That, my friends, is going to do it for this 117th episode of MediaMonarchy.com. It's the 3rd of April, 2009, and of course, we can't get out of here without looking at the creepy customers coming to MediaMonarchy.com in the past week. I keep track of them through StatCounter.com. I've even been looking at some of the traffic on Google Analytics. However, I don't fully understand it yet. However, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration out of Pasadena, that's NASA, friends, reading about the F-18 that crashed in a residential neighborhood in San Francisco many months ago. The Social Security Administration out of Baltimore, Maryland, they googled Oracle Broadcasting Network being blocked. OracleBroadcasting.com, of course, home of great shows like the Intel Strike Report with Doug from BlacklistedNews.com, as well as Live Free or Die from Lee Rogers and RogueGovernment.com. Of course, the Drug Enforcement Administration out of Arlington. Metronet ADSL out of Croatia, which I guess is probably just their ISP. So somebody in Croatia googled Media Monarchy. Somebody at Yale out of New Haven, Connecticut was checking out the site, as was HSBC out of London, of course the banksters. We had the Practical Law Company PowerServe customer allocation in the UK. We also had Merrill Lynch out of Monroe, New York, reading about and behold a big blue horse, that of course being the big sinister looking horse outside the New World Airport, otherwise known as Denver International Airport. West Virginia Department of Education, they googled Silver Bridge, West Virginia, of course, the Silver Bridge disaster. Some theorize that it was presaged, and all ties in with the Mothman. Credit Suisse out of the UK googled London G20. The Navy Network Information Center out of Pensacola, Florida, was on MediaMonarchy.com. The National Archives and Records Administration, NARA.gov, out of Temple Hills, Maryland. Someone there googled Catherine Wilms National Archives. Now, she was referenced on our story about the National Archives releasing conspiracy-related things tied in with the release of National Treasure 2 a couple months ago. This basically looks like Catherine Wilms at the National Archives googling herself, because that's where the ISP hit comes from, and it circles right around to a story about them. So that's funny if that's really true. The U.S. Office of Personnel Management out of Washington, D.C., they googled National Level Exercise 2009. Of course, the FEMA exercise coming up this summer. CRC.Army.mil, headquarters USAISC out of Arizona, again and again. The EPA out of D.C. were reading about the test drill at Miami International Airport aiming to slow pandemics. Somebody at Reed College here in Portland, Oregon, Googled Black Helicopter, Portland. NBC Universal out of Munster, Indiana, reading about the DHS publishing a 315-page book honoring Michael Chertoff's select speeches. The Battelle Memorial Institute out of Columbus, Ohio, they're reading the funny story from a few weeks ago about the sign hackers broadcasting zombie warnings. That was in Texas where people hacked into the road warning signs and it said, danger, zombies ahead. The interesting thing to note, however, here, Battelle Memorial Institute, B-A-T-T-E-L-L-E, CIA contractor, military front, they do germ warfare work, and of course are tied in with anthrax and Fort Detrick and all that. Again, the Navy Network Information Center out of Pensacola, Florida, they were digging way into the archives and reading about the Air Force stripping the Playboy poser of her status. We had the U.S. Senate Sergeant-at-Arms out of Washington, D.C., reading about FEMA suspending their top-off terror drills and SAIC dropping out of the competition due to conflict of interest. Again, you'll remember, top-off four took place here in Portland, Oregon. The West Virginia Department of Education out of Charleston, West Virginia, they were reading History Mystery, Opium, Milk, JFK, Churchill, and Nazis. However, the last one, the Department of Homeland Security out of Springfield, Virginia, Googled, is it gang-related? William Bennett Lansdowne murder. And that's where we're going to leave it. I thank you, my friends. I won't belabor the point on all this means to me and hopefully to you, and we will keep doing it. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of MediaMonarchy.com, reminding you, like my man Webster Griffin Tarpley says, get active or get radioactive. Take care.
Police would get him just the same.